Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast, your Friday edition of the show. Joining you as always, Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola. Tom, are you fired up for the trade deadline, or are you already is already over because Kyle Palmieri got traded?
Man, Joe, I love trade deadline. I can't wait. Monday's going to be amazing. I can't lie to everybody like that. No, it's going to be, it feels like it's going to be a dud. The lead up has been a bit of a dud. Yes, we got to see the Palmieri deal, which is great. You know, the saga ends and he's an Islander. And now, you know, maybe is the market set. And I guarantee we're going to wail away on that. What's going to happen to Taylor Hall? What's wrong with Mike Hoffman? We're going to get into that stuff, I know. But to answer the question, Joe, not really that excited for deadline day. And it's too bad. I mean, usually it's one of the more fun days of the year. But, you know, bringing it back home to TSN 1260, we usually have a massive show where all of us are in studio together. Obviously, that's not possible right now due to COVID. But we got the email yesterday from our PD just saying, trade deadline, no special. Everybody go with your regular programming. And if you need, just call in. If you need someone to come in to talk about a trade, just give them a shout and get them on for a segment. That's it. So if that's any indicator, we're in for a casual Monday, I feel like.
Yeah, it's definitely turned. This year is going to be different than any, I think. But, you know, like when I was growing up, like so I was the biggest diehard hockey fan as a kid ever, that my parents would let me stay home from school on trade deadline day. Like I would have to do a lot leading up to that. Like my grades had to be through the roof. I had to do like extra chores probably. I had to do a lot to do that, but I would get to a point where it's like, I want to stay home from school on trade deadline day. And I was allowed to do that. So that was right. Like it was almost like a holiday for me as a hockey fan, but this year because of the pandemic, but even in past years, doesn't it feel like it's died down?
Yeah. And you know, what's funny too is, and you kind of get the sense, and some GMs have kind of joked about this, like they've gone out of their way to kill the buzz around deadline day. And maybe that's to protect themselves and get away from some extra pressure that's always there on deadline day. So we've seen some big deals in the past few years happen a few days before, sometimes even weeks before. And it basically deflates all the pent up excitement. And it's to the point now where like here in Canada on TSN, on our mothership, you know, James Duthie is sitting there making cracks and jokes on the show saying, well, you know, this GM, he told us he would pull off a move to make our show boring, and he did. And basically what used to be wall-to-wall coverage throughout the day on both major networks here in Canada has essentially turned into like a five-hour special. And then, it, you know, it slowly has chipped away to like a three-hour special. Hey, catch us online for an extended version. And it's to the point now where it's like it's become this like cat and mouse game between the media and hockey executives. And it's like, okay, like, what are we doing here? But it's part of the fun and it's ever evolving. Yeah. We'll roll with it. That's how we do it in our industry, right, Joe?
That's right. We will talk about the Kyle Palmieri trade to the Islanders. We'll talk about Taylor Hall, who is going to be moved by deadline day, probably the biggest name left on the market, and anything else that comes up trade deadline wise. I know there's plenty to get to, including the Florida Panthers. We'll bring them up because they made a trade on Thursday, moving Brett Connolly and a couple of other players to the Chicago Blackhawks that cleared them about $3 million in cap space. And they're now up to $15 million in cap space, if you include, which you should, the relief they're getting for Aaron Ekblad being on long-term injured reserve and his being out for the season. So the Panthers could do a lot come deadline time. So we'll talk about them. But first, couple of news items to get to. Alex Ovechkin passes Brett Hull in power play goals, and he now has 16 seasons in a row with 20 goals scored. He's a free agent, by the way, at the end of the year. Did you know that? I don't think I even knew that until yesterday or 2 days ago.
Look out, NHL. Biggest splash on the market this offseason. Yeah,
Alex Ovechkin.
Watch out, Washington. I'm sure they'll find a way to come up with the deal, and yeah. I'm sure he's going to get paid handsomely for the remainder of his career. But, Joe, this is a guy amazing. Like, to see him just ascending into the elite of the elite in the hockey stratosphere, and we expected it to happen when he was drafted and when he first came into the National Hockey League, but he's been a model of consistency. He's kind of one of those guys you look at around the league and you go, he seems like fun. You know, we could get hitch ourselves onto that wagon and be a fan of Alex Ovechkin. What he does on the ice is great. He's funny off the ice. The videos with this kid on social media, every time he takes a slap shot, the kid's giggling away. It's adorable. This guy, it's been a privilege to watch him, cover him. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I was kind of hoping, even though I'm from Edmonton, I cover the Oilers and I have for 14 seasons, Joe. Mm-hmm. I kind of hoped that he would surpass Wayne Gretzky's goal record, honestly. Wow. And it's too bad that he's had a lockout shortened season, a pandemic shortened season, followed by another pandemic shortened season, which has really eaten into his opportunity to maybe pad his goal totals. He still might get there. He's been a tank, model of consistency, doesn't get hurt. So who knows? Maybe he still pulls it off. But a tremendous, tremendous feather in his cap once again for Alex Ovechkin. And you look at the 16 seasons of 20 goals now. Mm-hmm. The guys ahead of him, Matt Sundin did it 17 times. Jaromir Jagr 17. Brett Hull 17. Marcel Dion 17 times. And then Brendan Shanahan in second with 19 straight seasons. And then maybe this guy doesn't get past. It's Mr. Hockey. Gordie Howe did it for 22 straight seasons. Gordie Howe, of course, playing 58 seasons in the National Hockey League from the age of 12 to the age of 79.
But he'd have to go to 42 to break that one. That might be a tougher record to break than Gretzky's goal total.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. He also, by the way, probably lost a bunch of goals in the 2004-05 lockout. He had not played in the NHL yet, but he was the first overall pick right. in 2004. I imagine he could have played as a rookie, considering he scored 52 goals the next year. I mean, maybe he wouldn't have scored 50, but he could have put 30 in, I'm guessing, as a 19-year-old. So he probably lost some games.
Totally.
Yeah.
Great point. Great point.
The first thing I did think of, though, and there's nothing I've read, there's nothing I've seen, heard that would make me think this is going to happen, but I will tell you, the first thought I had when I saw that Ovechkin was a free agent next year was, he's going to leave for the KHL. After all of this math that I personally have done over the years, figuring out what he's got to average to get Gretzky's record, and then he's just going to go bolt for the KHL and just let it go. But again, not going to happen. There's no way. I think that Ovechkin's going to do that. No. I mean, maybe when he's like in his 40s and he wants to finish his career, but I don't see that happening. But I thought that was funny that I've done so much math on this record. If it's all for naught, that would have been very annoying. All right. The biggest trade to happen in the NHL. Oh, well, before I get to that, sorry. One other thing that we wanted to get to is in the West Division with the St. Louis Blues, who have now lost 7 of their last 10 games. They are 3 points back of the Arizona Coyotes. I know like 2 weeks ago, I didn't even think the Coyotes had a chance to make the playoffs, let alone 2 weeks later, they'd be sitting in a pretty comfortable position. I know it's still a race, but the Blues are on the verge of collapse here. And I don't know about you, Tom, but maybe it's because a lot of their guys have kind of been there, done that for the last couple of years. I would have never seen them as a team that could have gone through a stretch like this.
No, this is the bizarre one. And their season has totally taken a left turn and completely veered off the highway to success and all of the good stuff that we've seen from the Blues over the last couple of years. It's bizarre. I mean, just lackluster performances from key players, Jordan Binnington. Obviously, you know, he's eccentric and I don't know. He's more interested in trying to fight guys on the ice than stop pucks. It's you know, to a certain extent with him, it's like his shtick is kind of wearing thin. When he was playing excellent and he was being cheeky with the media, it's like, all right, whatever, this guy's on fire. But his play hasn't been there to back it up, and now he's going right around trying to throw faux punches at people. It's like, dude, maybe stop some pucks first, and then you know, try to intimidate with your fake punches. And I love what Devin Dubnyk did, calling him out and going after him in that one game where he got tossed out. It's weird. And I, you know, what's interesting about the Blues, Joe, is when they went to the bubble last year and didn't have the success people were expecting from them, it was revealed that they had a bunch of COVID situations. Guys were dealing with that. The bodies weren't quite up to game speed, all of that. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe if they were healthy, they could have gone on another run, and maybe that's what led to the substandard play. But here they are, and we're in the most important part of the regular season, and they are falling off a cliff again.
Yeah,
that's kind of telling. It's like, is it a character issue? You talk about like this, you know, been there, done that mentality. Maybe that's seeped in. That speaks to character. And yeah, you look at the roster, and a lot of those guys were on that Stanley Cup winning team two seasons ago. Something's not right with that team, and it's bizarre. And you know, last year when it happened in the bubble, you go, all right, weird circumstance. But this year, even though it's a 56 game season, things were looking good for them, and this division was set up for them to be just fine and to get into the postseason and make some noise again. But now you've got Minnesota having a really strong year, 10 points up on St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And Arizona, you're just like, boy, what happened to you guys? Not to the extent of like a Columbus, but yikes.
Yeah. They even, and they got Tarasenko back in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And it's not, he's playing fine. Like, he's got 9 points in 15 games. I know he's coming off that shoulder surgery, and he's not, doesn't look quite like the same player, especially goal scoring wise. He has not been, he hasn't even been compiling as many chances as he used to, but he's still putting up points. And like, that hasn't given them a spark. I don't know what it is. They have personalities on that team. I don't know if I should even mention this, but I do remember a storyline that Tarasenko was upset that he was not named captain of that team. He felt like he had been becoming a leader in that group, and that he had done everything he needed to be the face of the franchise. And they gave it to O'Reilly. And I don't know, maybe that's causing some resentment somewhere in the locker room. There's a lot that could be going on in the dark there that we don't know about. So I just thought that was worth mentioning, just because he is back now, and you know, maybe there's something there, but I'm reaching to try to explain what's happening here. Bennington is a good point, though, because Bennington's having such a weird season. You mentioned he's a hothead all year, and he's having by save percentage standards, a pretty bad year. 5-on-5 save percentage. He's bottom five in the league right now. I don't know. I might still want to predict they come back out of this to catch Arizona, but it's going to be a tight race down the stretch. I'm glad to have it, because I was worried we weren't going to get any. So,
well, we basically just a quick thought on that. We don't have a race in the North. It's pretty much set there. And then set in the East. And yeah, you could say the West and the Central are really the only two divisions with any races down to the finish here in the next 4 weeks.
That's right. All right, we'll talk some deadline when we come back. Kyle Palmieri, Taylor Hall, and the Florida Panthers all on the docket on the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Tom Gazzola.
A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For the Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot, not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. Tom Gazzola at Tom Gazzola. Watch our live trade deadline show Monday, April 12th at noon Eastern at Locked On Live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and the Odyssey app. It's the only place to get in-the-moment reactions and analysis to the biggest NHL deadline moves from local experts covering their teams. Follow at Locked On Live today to watch the Locked On NHL live trade deadline show. Speaking of the deadline, we had one big trade that has already gone through earlier in the week. We had Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac going to the New York Islanders from the New Jersey Devils in exchange for a first-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a couple of prospects. I like this move for the Islanders. I was wondering if they might be in the Taylor Hall market sitting here in Buffalo. I do think Palmieri fits their system better, though. Like, if they were looking for a scoring winger, Hall, especially this year, has just been, I mean, I have defended him in terms of his ability to create scoring chances this year, even though he's not scoring. But in his own end, it's been kind of a disaster. And in the Lou Lamoriello, Barry Trotz system, I feel like you've got to be really responsible in your own end. Palmieri gives you the goal production and more responsible in his own end. So I like this move for the Islanders. I don't know if I care a whole lot about Zajac. He gives them a little bit of depth. But I like this move overall for New York.
Yeah, and it also tells you that they're going for it this year. And people sleep on the Islanders. They forget about them. And they're not the sexy team in the New York area. Usually it's the New York Rangers. We've seen the Devils have a ton of success over the last couple of decades, although that's not happening now, clearly. And how about the old getting a little hand from your old team for Lou Lamoriello there? So it's a playbook we've seen before. It's funny because, like, here with Edmonton, it was always Edmonton and New York and Kevin Lowe getting favors from Glenn Sather and vice versa. So nothing new, really. And I think Zajac, you're right. Like, he's, what, 36 years old now? His best years are probably behind him. But come postseason time, his wisdom, experience, all that stuff, I think – that might be a sneaky good pickup in honor of Sneaky Joe. And and who knows? We'll see. Like, give it some time. It's not going to be the high impact type of pickup like Palmieri is when it comes to Zajac. But I think depth-wise, it could be pretty good. And in the room, they'll probably like him. And the familiarity with Lamoriello is important too. And then the other thing is, again, I think it's forgotten on people. This is a team that went to the conference final last year. This is a team that's put together a hell of a season. They're excellent on home ice. They've got 17 wins already on home ice, and we're almost done the season. And, some scoring punch, a little bit of veteran savvy with playoff experience could go a long way for this team. So don't sleep on the Islanders. And on Taylor Hall, really quickly, Joe, like, I remember just because some fans in Edmonton are so adamant and vocal about it, it's a vocal minority that they want, and they're clamoring for Taylor Hall back, and they feel so spited by the deal, the one-for-one that Peter Chiarelli pulled for Adam Larson, that they think that Taylor Hall is coming back. So, you know, I just got to the point where I was like, all right, like, so many ridiculous things are being thrown out there around Edmonton, and some people that are well-respected in the media side of things. My colleagues are throwing it out there. Mm-hmm. So I had to reach out to some people in the organization, say, okay, what's going on? Like, or am I off my rocker thinking this has no legs whatsoever? And I was basically told, well, with the way he's playing right now on a bad team and at that price point, not a chance. And that's in regard to Edmonton. So maybe that's the mentality some other executives around the league are taking too when it comes to Hall at the deadline this year.
Yeah, and we can actually get right into him. I will make one more point actually on Palmieri real quick before we go full speed into Hall. That this one point I wanted to make on the Islanders is I do like them going into the playoffs. They don't have the high-end scoring, and I've definitely been one to sleep on them in the past because they don't have that high-end elite offensive punch. But they've got three scoring lines now with this trade. And looking at like who they're skating with at practice, they've got Barzal with Eberle and Komarov up top. Well, up top, I guess they're all pretty spread out. And then you've got Brock Nelson with Bolivier and Bailey. And they've got Palmieri and Zajac with Pageau. So that's three well-balanced scoring lines that you could just hammer other teams with one after another. And just the depth scoring is going to be, if they're successful in the playoffs, I think is going to what gets them through. Anyways, on Hall, we had Pierre LeBrun also kind of to that point and like what the market might look like for him right now. An executive told Pierre LeBrun, quote, if Hall was still sitting there Monday, he could see a team get him for a second or third round pick plus send Buffalo a contract to make it work. No question the Sabres want to do better than that. But a second or a third round pick? I mean, he's only got two goals, but again, he is still generating chances. I guess, though, I wouldn't be stunned if it's a second round pick. I think the way this season has gone and there are so few buyers and I don't know. Just his season, too, of course, that he's having. I don't know. I would bet against the Sabres getting a first round pick. I think if they get a second as like the main piece that they'll get something else on top of that, like a prospect. But that doesn't have to be right.
Yeah. And it sucks for the Sabres and the fans. They're not in a position of power whatsoever. And
right.
Oh, it's funny. You look at the Hall deal last year that Arizona pulled off and what they were able to send the other way to New Jersey. And although, you know, it wasn't over the top awesome, like it was still pretty respectable. And
yeah,
man, his free agency, when it hit for him, awful time. The salary cap being frozen, awful. The situation that he chose to go to and how it developed this year, awful. It's just like, one after another in a series of unfortunate events or just awful events has got us to this point. And it might be a bargain deal, steal pickup. But Joe, I'm curious to know what you think about this too. Like he has not played on good teams throughout his career. Six of those here in Edmonton on some god-awful teams. That's not his fault. But he's had 1 year in the postseason with the Devils, 1 year last year where he made it to the postseason with the Coyotes. He's been in the league for, what, 11 seasons now? Mm-hmm. I wonder if that stigma of him not being able to play on good teams or whatever teams he's on don't seem to be good might start to creep into the mindset of some people in hockey circles. Where do you come out on that?
I don't know how much I want to attribute his play to it. But the wonder I have
is it wouldn't be fair.
Right. To me, it wouldn't be fair because he's been a great player pretty much everywhere he's gone, really, up until this year. And I would even still argue he's been fine. He's been good. But my wonder might be how much he cares about it because, you know, like if winning was your number one priority, and even on a 1 year deal and like rebuilding your value, if winning was your priority, you don't come to the Sabres, do you? Like, you go to Boston, or you go to Toronto, or you go to Vegas. Like, you just go find a contender on a cheap deal, and that's how you rebuild your value, and you win along the way. That's what I wonder. I wonder how much it is motivating to him to go there, or if he'll just take the biggest contract that's out there. Because I think that's kind of what happened with the Sabres in the offseason. I think Ralph Krueger played a huge part in it. I think the respect that he had for Ralph Krueger, I mean, if Krueger was not their head coach, I do not think Taylor Hall would have been a Buffalo Sabre. I'll just say that.
Right.
I wonder about a guy who passed on cheaper deals. The Avalanche were the one. I think in the offseason, it was out there that the Avalanche offered him a 1-year deal for $5 million. And maybe next time around, he'll do that. You know, that he'll just latch on.
He could have a next time around this offseason. And man, in the prime of your career, you know, you're balancing hitting a home run contract wise. Again, unfortunate time for that to be the case. Or do you really want to win? And all indicators, and from people who know him from here and have talked to him and his camp, it sounds like he does. Like the focus is on winning. But
yeah,
but Taylor Hall, being a smart individual, because he is, he knows how to say the right thing, yeah, how to approach situations like this. You know, when you hear him say, well, I'm open to negotiating an extension with Arizona, I'm open to negotiating an extension with Buffalo. He does his due diligence and he plays the game the right way off the ice, the negotiation, that sort of thing. He knows how to handle that to a T, and that kind of puts up a smoke screen or doesn't give you a real glimpse into what he's thinking, because he plays the game away from on the ice when it comes to the negotiation process very well as well.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll see what happens with him. Maybe the team he goes to, there'll be an extension worked out. I know I've heard that floated out there by some of the TSN guys. So Hall still remains one of the bigger names at the deadline, and he will be traded. He has not been playing with the Sabres. I mean, there's no way he's still on that roster past Monday. Yeah. So one other team that let's talk about before we wrap up. The Florida Panthers are a team I've been thinking about a lot recently, in part because I do have a Stanley Cup bet on them. And also with the Aaron Ekblad injury and the relief they get from long-term injured reserve, plus this Brett Connolly trade to Chicago that clears a little bit of space for them. They're a team sitting right now at the top of the standings. They are third in the NHL with 56 points. They can do cap-wise basically whatever they want. If they want to go all in and they want to go trade for two or three guys at the deadline, I mean, they'll have to pay the draft capital and the prospect capital to do that. But money-wise, they can afford to do that. So I wonder how big a swing you think they're going to take, because I see Florida right now, and that's an ownership group that has wanted to win, that likes to take big swings. And I think in the position that they're in right now, the season that they're having right now, Hall, I could see them trading for. I could see them trading for any of these top defensemen on the market, like David Savard, or even Ristolainen's name in Buffalo is getting tossed out. I could see that for them. I think Florida does something, and I think they do something big.
Yeah, it's starting to stack up that way, isn't it? And what about this name? I'll throw it out there to you right now. Josh Manson. Apparently he's potentially available, and he's got an extra year left on his deal at $4.1 million. That is a big right shot defenseman at the right age. He's 29. Listen, on a bad Anaheim team, he hasn't put up great offensive numbers, but if you need a big body defenseman that knows how to play the game the right way, do they look at Josh Manson? Even in your own backyard, what about a guy like Brandon Montour? Would that be worth looking at as well?
I like Montour for them. I think right shot defenseman, if you could find me a half decent one, I think they're going to be in on it. Montour fits for that.
Yeah.
I think I like the Manson idea more for their sake, though. Ristolainen's the one I'm very curious about, though, because he has a lot of the same skill sets as Aaron Ekblad does. He's not near the level of player he is, but just the guy that could eat up 25 minutes on your right side, play power play for you, play shorthanded for you. He's the guy I've wondered more for them from Buffalo, but Montour does make sense too. I think Montour is getting more connected to Winnipeg the more we hear about him. Winnipeg's going to do something too, I think, at least on their blue line.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about Florida here, but I think Winnipeg's got to do something on their blue line. They're too good in net, and they're too good up front to go into the playoffs with just those defensemen. Do you agree?
Yep, I do. And you know what? Even though their defense has been sneaky good, it could be bolstered. And I know that, you know, Ekholm's a big name in Winnipeg that they've been talking about a lot, but anything to give that now. I know. So that might be out the window. So all of a sudden, yeah, Winnipeg is scouring the market to try to bolster its blue line. And it kind of reminds me of last year when Vegas went and got Alec Martinez, and look how good he's been for them, like right out of the gates when he got there. And that's kind of re-solidified Vegas. And then Pietrangelo in the offseason was massive, obviously. But for the Jets, something like that to really reassure everyone that this defense is capable, first of all, which it is. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you get that extra piece and all of a sudden it puts it into people's mind. Winnipeg's got every facet of their game to be a contender. They really do. And people, that's another team people sleep on is the Winnipeg Jets. They are very good.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, let's wrap on that. I got a puppy over here. It's getting a little bit restless. He agreed with a couple things you said, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be joining the trade deadline show on Monday at 1:10. So if you guys want to tune in for what's going on in Buffalo, it should be a fire sale, but we'll see. Tuesday with Mike DeStefano, we'll recap everything on deadline day, and then me and Tom, I'm sure we'll talk more about it next Friday. So that's going to do it for us here in the Locked On NHL podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you next week.